Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Got him on the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
One hit, no punt. Close intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome to Friday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. So glad you could join us. Lance Medow with you for the next 60 minutes as we'll be breaking down all that is happening with respect to the New York Giants. Two ways to interact with us here on the program, 201-939-4513. That is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. You could also chime in via Twitter using hashtag Giants Chat, and you could follow and interact with me directly at Lance Medow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. We'll get to a lot over the next 60 minutes. Jordan Renan of NJ.com will join us a little bit later on in the program. He is at the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, so he will shed some light on what the prospects have been doing down in Alabama and who to look out for in tomorrow's game. You also have the Pro Bowl on deck this weekend. That'll be Sunday evening in Arizona. We have full coverage right now up on Giants.com. A lot of features, a lot of pictures. Odell Beckham going through a pair of photo shoots today. So that is the latest activity that he is involved in. He has been selected to take part in the Pro Bowl as part of Team Irvin. So he will be catching passes from Tony Romo, who is the starting quarterback for that team. And he obviously earned some more accolades yesterday. He was named Sporting News Rookie of the Year. So continues to go in favor of Odell Beckham. That is not the official NFL Rookie of the Year, but just about every piece of hardware associated with the rookie class has gone in the direction of Odell Beckham, and we assume that right now it's looking good for him to eventually be tabbed the NFL Rookie of the Year. That will be officially announced the night before the Super Bowl, but every other entity that has weighed in with respect to this topic has favored Odell Beckham, and he'll look to shine once again in the Pro Bowl. So that is something to look forward to with respect to Giants fans as well as the Giants organization, an opportunity to showcase one of their top talents from this season. Speaking of the draft, and we'll be getting to your phone calls and your tweets momentarily, an interesting article that we posted on Giants.com, Mel Kiper Jr. of ESPN, who had graded everybody following the draft, has gone back and reevaluated all of the draft selections for each and every team. And he initially gave the Giants a B following the draft. So after evaluating what transpired during the course of the season, Mel Kiper Jr. has now adjusted that to an A for the Giants' 2004 rookie class. And these were some of the things that he wrote about with respect to this class. First of all, obviously, high accolades for Odell Beckham. We've been there, we've done that. I mean, there's only so much more that you can say about what he's been able to accomplish this season, and Mel Kiper has pretty much echoed the same sentiments that we have all thrown out here on the program. This is, though, what he had to say about the rest of the rookie class, and I'm curious your perspective as we get to your phone calls and your tweets the rest of the way, because this rookie class really made tremendous strides, and there's a lot that they can build on moving forward. And the other entity of this young group, this young core, I should say, that is developing with respect to the Giants also should be focused on the 2013 class. And Mel Kiper does allude to that in his evaluation. So this is what he wrote. He said, quote, elsewhere, Weston Richburg had his struggles at guard, but I actually think he's better at center. So that was a transition. And he did rack up well over 1,000 snaps. Not bad. Andre Williams produced when he saw the field, could be the starter in 2015. And Devon Kennard is also a likely starter after playing well down the stretch. Jay Bromley, still a question mark, and they did need D-line help, but they also saw Jonathan Hankins emerge, and that is alluding to the 2013 class. The Giants stood pat, hit a home run with Beckham as the third wide receiver taken, and weren't done there. Great draft, end quote. So that is what Mel Kiper had to say as he is looking back upon the 2014 rookie classes for each and every team. And you look top to bottom for the seven selections that the Giants had. Players got out there and contributed this season, and that's what you'd like to see out of your rookie class, whether it be Odell Beckham Jr. or you go as far down as Devon Kennard. Bennett Jackson was put on the practice squad. He got hurt, so he didn't see much activity, whether it be on the practice field or in games this season, but a young prospect at that corner spot out of Notre Dame that will have an opportunity to make the 53-man roster this offseason. Nat Burhe, who was selected in the same round as Devon Kennard, He got some snaps early in the season, especially when Stevie Brown was moved in and out of the lineup. Andre Williams filling in for an injured Rashad Jennings. Weston Richburg getting the start on the offensive line. And Odell Beckham. Number of players. And you don't see this across the league. You see maybe a first-round pick, a second-round pick, a third-round pick come in and get starter-like snaps. But to see a fifth-round player, a fourth-rounder even, do a great deal of heavy lifting this season, you know, this is something that is an extreme positive for the Giants and something that they will certainly look to build upon moving forward next season. We're going to open up the phone lines. Obviously, Jordan Renan's going to come on a little bit later on, so I want to try to get to as many phone calls and tweets here early on in the program. If you want to weigh in on a variety of topics, everything is up for discussion, the Pro Bowl and the Senior Bowl, as I mentioned this weekend, and any other articles or features that you've come across with respect to Giants.com. Obviously, the guys and gals here on our site doing a great job covering the team and a lot of the storylines throughout the course of the offseason. So let's start with the lines here, 201-939-4513. Lance Meadow with you. Good to be with you here on this Friday. Dan is in the Poconos. Dan, what's happening?
Hey, Lance. Nice to talk to you.
Same here, Dan. What you got?
Well, I wanted to talk about, I don't know if it's a fantasy or not, but I know as far as off-season free agency or with the draft, we're going to definitely, you know, want to keep going with that offensive line. And, you know, I know there's a bunch of areas we could touch on, especially like the defense with the linebacker situation and safety situation, if we're going to bring our guys back, you know, Roll and Brown. But I was thinking, I don't know if it's crazy or not, but is it, I mean, because we see what Beckham does to the offensive side, right? I mean, it's kind of like on 53, so it reminds me, and as everyone has said, it's kind of what LT did when he first came on the scene. It like, just changed our defense so much. And Odell is obviously, I'm not going to praise him anymore because we all know he's the real deal. But, is it possible, you think? Because, I mean, I was just in shock last year with the free agency. I mean, we were just going off, and it was just something different seeing from the Giants. And now I know Mara said that, you know, don't expect that this year, you know. And I was just wondering, even with all that being said, if there was any way you think, I know he's a big ticket, and we first got to hold on to JPP. I think, you know, shore him up, and, you know, if we do the franchise thing with him, so be it. And I hope he's not going to be too unhappy with that. But is there a chance you think we might be able to get somebody like Sue from Detroit? Or do you think he's going to re-sign with Detroit? Because I would just – could you imagine JPP on one side, Sue on the other, and then we got our guys coming along on the inside, you know, more too on the outside on the end. But, you know, that would be something that other teams would fear, you know?
And absolutely. Well, considering those names that you threw out, it would be a great combination, and fantasy could very well be a good word and a good way to describe that. With that being said, I think that the Lions are probably going to do whatever they can to obviously retain him. And once again, this is pure speculation. We don't know how things are going to play out. But I think you also need to take into consideration, Dan, and you mentioned you would like the Giants to re-sign JPP, and that is something that I'm sure they're going to look into as well as explore other options. You know, if you look at what Sue would try to grab on the open market on top of JPP, I mean, can you afford to lock up so much of your salary cap at just two players? And no team, I don't think, really has the benefit to do that. Now, who knows how the salary cap and how the offseason is going to play out, but, you know, it really comes down to money. And the two players that you threw out are talented players on the defensive line that are going to command big money in the open market. And sometimes from a realistic standpoint, it's just unfathomable to think about how that could be done from a financial perspective.
Right, I follow you. And the more I'm thinking about it, I'm like, the more we should, you know, save that money and just hope that, you know, hold on to JPP and hope that Moore and other young guys can come around. You know, I know Ayers is still with us, and who was a, you know, huge impact. I knew he was going to be good, too, even though he was up there. I just remembered him playing for so many years over there with Kansas City, I believe, right?
No, he came over from the Denver Broncos, actually.
Right.
Yeah.
Denver, right. But, I mean, you know, it's more, it sounds more, the smarter way to go is to stay away from Sue. And then, you know, I'm kind of contradicting myself, but to use that money, you know, in the other areas that we desperately need it also, and just hope that Moore can be more consistent, and maybe he could be that player on the end, you know?
Well, and that's what they're hoping for, Dan, and we saw some flashes of that this past season where, you know, they want him to be more confident as a guy that can get in there and stop the run, not necessarily be just a situational pass rusher. But, you know, the Giants' track record over the last few years, even dating back to history, has always been they'd rather have depth at that position so they can rotate guys. And you mentioned Robert Ayers, DeMontre Moore. If they're fortunate enough to bring back JPP, I'm sure they're going to look in the draft at some young prospects. The more guys you have, the better position you're in. And then on top of that, let's not forget, with Steve Spags coming back, you know, he's a defensive coordinator that likes to rotate his personnel. He likes to get after the quarterback. So I'm sure his personality and his perspective coming in is going to be, hey, let's have as many guys humanly possible that we can rotate, even taking into consideration the linebackers, because the more guys that you can have that can play multiple positions, you move inside, you move outside, it's only going to help you down the road, especially if you come across some injuries later in the season.
And we know that's going to happen.
Well, it's been an unfortunate track record, correct? So you need to protect yourself in that regard.
But we have had success with that. Remember just a few years ago when we won the Super Bowl, you remember how they were always rotating those D-line men in there? They were always rotating, and they come off fresh, you know, and that is a great recipe if you can have that going.
Absolutely. And, Dan, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. You look at the Seattle Seahawks. You got it, Dan. The Seattle Seahawks, who won the Super Bowl last year and have an opportunity to repeat, you know, similar to what the Giants have done, they also have implemented a system where they rotate personnel. They bring in multiple guys so that, as Dan, the last caller, alluded to, come the third quarter and the fourth quarter, you have some fresh legs. And that's what the Giants would obviously like to do, just as any other team in the NFL. But Seattle, the reason why I bring up the Seahawks as an example, you know, they were known for doing that last season. They signed a number of veterans, and they were able to not necessarily rely on those guys every single down, whether it be a Michael Bennett, Martellus Bennett's brother, who played for the Giants a few years ago, Cliff Averill, who they brought in from the Detroit Lions. You know, those are veteran players who are used to being every down starters, but when they get into a team where there's multiple players that are dangerous, whether it be inside or outside, you know, they don't necessarily have to go in for every single snap. And that's exactly what the Giants have done over the last few years, and I'm sure they're going to try to stockpile defensive tackles, defensive linemen as well. I mean, they certainly had plenty of bodies on the roster this season. As I mentioned, unfortunately, a couple of guys got hurt. Robert Ayers, who the last caller brought up, you know, he had a tremendous impact before he suffered that torn pectoral muscle. He was somebody who came in, helped spark that defensive line, especially getting to the quarterback. He led the team in sacks while he was healthy. So, you know, that is a player that is once again under contract for this season. So it's somebody that, assuming he could stay healthy, could have a prevalent role in the defensive line. JPP obviously is a question mark, giving his free agent status. Cullen Jenkins is a veteran who they could still certainly rely on. Jonathan Hankins has emerged, coming off a great 2014 campaign. And that is something that I read Mel Kiper Jr. hit on when he started to evaluate the draft class once again. Now, there's a number of players with upside on this Giants front seven. It's just a matter of, can you continue to groom the young guys so that, you know, it's not just a lot of young players with upside, but you have some veterans in the mix as well. And that's what they tried to address in free agency last year. You bring in the Robert Ayers of the world, so you have a veteran presence. A Denver Bronco who was not necessarily happy with the system, came over to the Giants, was a little bit more comfortable with how they were utilizing him here. And then on top of that, you mix in a Moore, you mix in a Hankins. I mean, that's the ideal situation that the Giants would like to utilize moving forward. But you can't ever feel as if you're in the right position. You always want to obviously look to improve. And that's something that Tom Coughlin, Jerry Reese, and John Mara even alluded to during the course of their postseason press conferences. You know, even when you look strong in one position, you shouldn't say to yourself, well, you know, we're fine. We're always looking for ways to improve, whether it be through free agency, the draft, or even a trade here or there. And that is something that the Giants have certainly explored in seasons past. But to start to speculate as to whether or not they're going to go after this guy and that guy, you know, there's no stock or substance behind that. I understand a lot of people like to look over the free agents and see who would be a good fit for the Giants. But keep this in mind, and I'll use this as an example. It has nothing to do with the defensive line. But last year, if you recall, a big topic of discussion was, what were the Giants going to do with the tight end position? Because you looked at the tight ends, and nobody necessarily jumped off the page from a name perspective. That doesn't mean that they didn't have talent, just from a name. they didn't have necessarily a usual suspect like they did in previous years, whether it be a Jeremy Shockey or Martellus Bennett, somebody who has a proven track record. A lot of upside in Larry Donnell. Still a small sample size. Daniel Fells was out of football the previous season. Adrian Robinson, still a young, raw talent. Those guys contributed throughout the course of this season, and they didn't necessarily make a huge splash in free agency at that position. So sometimes when you least expect, you know, a young guy takes advantage of his opportunity. And I think this past season, that storyline played out. That's why a lot of young players had an opportunity to contribute, and they saw the writing on the wall. An Andre Williams, a Devon Kennard. Guys get hurt. They have an opportunity to step in, make a statement. And that's what the majority of this rookie class did. And if they can get even another rookie class with a great deal of depth and strength, or take a chance on some undrafted free agents, who the Giants have had a very good track record with undrafted players. I think that's actually one storyline that doesn't get a great deal of press. It's always the focus on what have they done in free agency, what have they done in the draft. If you look at some of the players that were undrafted free agents who have taken advantage of their opportunities, I'm not saying that it's a laundry list, but you know, you get a Victor Cruz, you get even a Larry Donnell over a very small period of time. You know, that speaks volumes of the scouting department and how they have an eye for talent. So if the Giants can continue to do that, you know, that's another way to not have to go the direction of the salary cap and make the big splash. And this is another thing that should be noted, and it's somewhat of a trend that we've seen during the course of the NFL offseason. And curious your thoughts at 201-939-4513. You can also chime in on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. Follow and interact with me, at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. And this relates to what John Mara brought up in his press conference, and the last caller touched on this, that you know, just because the Giants were aggressive in free agency one year doesn't mean they're going to follow that same route. The teams that hit the home runs, and what I mean by hitting the home runs, win in the PR department when it comes to free agency. They go out, they get all the star name players. You know, sometimes that doesn't always translate to wins and losses with respect to the NFL standings. You know, you could look great on paper. Unfortunately, the injury bug gets the best of you, and you know, things don't necessarily work out according to plan. So, you know, there are so many different ways to bolster a depth chart that free agency is one of many different ways to go about that. And, you know, we're talking about, obviously, the young prospects now because the Senior Bowl is this weekend. And this is where the Giants discovered a great deal of their talent over the course of their 2014 draft class. One player to bring to the forefront would be Weston Richburg. And if you remember Weston Richburg during the Senior Bowl at this time last season, he went up against Aaron Donald, who was taken by the St. Louis Rams a little bit earlier in the first round. And Richburg, unlike any other offensive lineman, held his own against arguably one of the best pass-rushing prospects in the 2014 class. So, you know, there could be a player that did not get a great deal of notoriety even during his college tenure that shines during the course of this week or come Saturday during the course of the Senior Bowl. And we'll hear a little bit later on about some of the prospects to keep close tabs on when Jordan Renan of NJ.com joins us. In the meantime, let's head back to the phone lines and we check in with Donnie in New York City. Donnie, what's happening?
Hi. We have a lot of free agents going into this free agency. What do you think the Giants GM and coaching staff will do about that?
Well, we do have a number of free agents, referring to the Giants. They're all over the place. It's not necessarily one position, Donnie. So, you know, I think that they'll obviously look to try to bring back some of the players that they feel financially fit within the salary cap, as well as obviously can build off of what they did last season. Antrowall and JPP are the two most prominent free agents from name perspective as well as from money perspective. And John Mara even said they want those two back. However, the price has to be right. So the Giants will, I'm sure, explore all of their options. Those two players have played integral roles on this team. The safety position is very interesting, and that's why I bring up Antrowall, because in addition to Roll, Donnie, keep in mind, Quinton Demps is a free agent, as well as Stevie Brown. So you have three of your four notable safeties on the roster last season that can now test the market. So, you know, that's going to be a position, probably unlike any other position, that they're going to have to focus the most on, especially if they don't bring back the players that were on the roster next season. That would be the one position that I would really focus on during the course of this offseason from the fan base perspective, because there's so many question marks because of guys not being under contract. Elsewhere, you know, JPP is the most notable guy on the defensive line. You look at the running back position, the quarterback position, everything's pretty much set there. Wide receiver, they have a nice young nucleus of guys. Tight ends, Larry Donnell's an exclusive rights-free agent, meaning that they can match just about anything that is thrown his way as long as they give him the offer that is presented once free agency starts. So I would say, at least on the surface, they're in a good position to retain him, given that they are in a stronger position than any other team. Defense is probably the one facet of this team where there's the most question marks, because there's more free agents on that side of the ball than per se offense.
Right.
All right, Donnie, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in. And, you know, in terms of where the Giants go specifically, as I mentioned, you know, it depends on who's brought back and who leaves. That is going to present the one position where they may have to do the most heavy lifting. That's why I said safety, unlike any other position, is the one where, you know, you wonder what's going to happen at that spot, given the fact that there's a lot of guys that are not necessarily under contract heading into next season. Outside of that, as I mentioned, you know, you have at least a core player or two under contract. JPP gets a lot of focus on the defensive line, but, you know, the DeMontre Moores, the Jonathan Hankins of the world, the Robert Ayers of the world, they're still under contract. So, you know, they don't necessarily have to worry about a game of musical chairs over there. At the linebacker position, you know, you have players under contract. John Beeson's coming back from an injury. You know, that's a concern, but you still have him solidified under contract. And then with respect to the secondary, Prince is fine. DRC is fine. Walter Thurman's a free agent. However, given the fact that he got hurt, you wonder what the market that will be presented for him is going to be like. I think that the Giants will at least explore bringing him back, given the fact that he has experience at that slot. And if you're set with Prince and DRC, one of the areas that you want to have depth more so at is obviously that slot position. And they do have also Tremaine McBride. So, you know, you look around the positions, like I said, safety is the one where you say to yourself, well, what's going to happen? And we'll know as free agency starts to get underway on that front. Let's head back to the phone lines. Joe's in Pennsylvania. Joe, what's happening?
Hi, Lance. How you doing, buddy?
Doing well, Joe. How's everything with you? What you got?
Nothing real there. All I want to say is that you have to love the depth of the Giants, really, this year. That if anybody that's going to be going on the field, it's going to be a lot harder for rookies, unless they're really an impact player, to get on and start, like, or even sub in there a lot like the rookies did this year. And just looking at what we go for, I really think it would be great to have some kind of impact player yet on defense there, because the backfield's going to be fine, the corners and the safeties. If they sign Roll, or they'll bring in a veteran, somebody with experience there. And what I'm saying, it would be great to have another linebacker or somebody up front in the front four yet to be an impact player to put pressure on. And I really think our team would be well-rounded there with defense. The only exception to that, I guess, like Paul on that says, if we would really get a really stud offensive lineman, that's just my feelings on that. And the only other thing I dread or worry about, if we'd have injuries anywhere, is we haven't had anybody in there to get in to give have any experience behind Eli if he would happen to go down. So,
well, you have Ryan Nassib, who's a young player. It's not as if he's just all of a sudden getting thrown into the NFL. He's been with the team for two seasons. No team ever wants their starter to go down via injury, Joe. So, I mean, I understand that there's somewhat of a concern, but I don't think they're in a position where they don't have a player that at least is comfortable and knows the system.
Well, I understand that, but the only thing there, he you know what I mean? He hasn't had any game time experience, you know. And
well, but the truth is, you want your starter to get all the experience,
right,
so you can't necessarily blame the Giants from that perspective.
I agree there, you know what I mean? But the only one in, what was that game there? Tennessee, they were beaten by 30 points in the start of the fourth quarter. I thought, come on, Coughlin, put Nassib in there. That's the only thing, you know what I mean, to give him a little experience.
Well, but keep in mind, Joe, and not to cut you off, I'll let you continue, that was after the Jacksonville game where they had a comfortable lead and all of a sudden things slowly chipped away. So, you know, you can understand the Giants saying to themselves, while this would be a great position to give young guys an opportunity to groom themselves, at the same time, they had trouble the previous week solidifying a victory.
All right. What do you think of Maxwell from Seattle, the safety there? I know he's going to be up there. Do you think much of him?
Well, Byron Maxwell has a great deal of size. That's what makes a lot of these Seahawks corners so unique. You know, he filled in for Brandon Browner, who's now with the New England Patriots, another big guy. So, you know, that's the most appealing aspect of a corner that's got size. Because, I mean, look at the wide receivers, Joe, that the Giants have to contend with within the division. The Dez Bryants of the world, you know, they have agility, they have height. So you always want a corner that can fight with those other wide receivers. However, with that being said, you know, look at the Giants' personnel right now. You got Prince and you got DRC. You know, is the biggest necessity in your mind another corner who's comfortable
Maxwell
playing on the outside?
Safety.
As a safety, I don't know. Remember, that would depend on whether or not that player would want to change positions.
Oh,
you know, keep that in mind.
Safety Maxwell.
I lost you.
I thought he's a safety.
No, Byron Maxwell is a corner. You're talking to Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas are the two safeties on the Seahawks.
Okay. Which one? I thought one of them's up, one of them safeties.
Well, I don't know the exact situation for the Seahawks. I'll try to look it up. Chancellor and Thomas, I believe they just locked up a new contract. So none of them should be free agents. No, you may be right. Maxwell may be a free agent.
Somebody with experience, I guess the Giants will have to look at that overall, who's been a great player and a leader. So, but okay, well, thanks for putting me on, Lance.
You got it, Joe, and thanks so much for the phone call. I'm actually looking it up right now here. I'm looking at the Seahawks laundry list of players. Byron Maxwell is due to be a free agent this offseason, so he was right about that. But Maxwell is primarily a corner. I mean, I don't know during the course of his career at any point if he did play some safety. In this day and age, especially when you throw in the extra defensive back, sometimes corners move over to safety. I don't know off the top of my head if he's had a great deal of experience there. I know, obviously, he filled in for Brandon Browner when Browner was suspended last season. Walter Thurmond was the slot corner, so they mostly had him on the outside. He is a free agent. But once again, you know, if we are to play that game of speculation, which I know a lot of the Giants fan base likes to do, it's understandable. It's the offseason. This is the time where you start to play GM, put your hat on, and see who would be a good fit. If you were to look at the defense, and let's say you play GM for a second here, and you said, okay, you know, where do the Giants want to go? I look at the corner position. I think they're in very good shape there. Prince and DRC as your two outside guys. If you can bring back Walter Thurmond, Tremaine McBride, there's a great deal of depth within that secondary, assuming, obviously, everybody stays healthy. So I wouldn't necessarily start to speculate, you know, who may they target in a free agent corner spot, given the fact that they have a lot of guys currently under contract. Well, we've been talking about prospects. We've been talking about potential free agents. We will get to your phone calls a little bit later on in the program. But right now, we are joined by Jordan Renan of NJ.com, who is in Mobile, Alabama, covering Saturday's Senior Bowl. Jordan, Lance Meadow here. Appreciate the time. How's everything?
Lance, what's up? I was in Mobile. I'm home now.
You're at home now. Okay.
Yesterday, so
gotcha.
I'm early this morning.
Very nice. Well, we appreciate you squeezing us into the busy schedule. I know you had a great deal of coverage down in Alabama while you were down there, and you were looking at a number of different prospects. So let's start with who stood out to you the most as you looked at a lot of these different young up-and-coming prospects.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, when you look at the Giants, John Mara said it recently, you know, we need more on the offensive and defensive line. So I think you start there when you're looking at prospects for the Giants. And the offensive line, I mean, Lyle Collins from LSU was someone that really stood out. He's not exactly your prototypical-looking offensive tackle. Maybe a little on the, I don't know, he seems like, you know, shorter and maybe portlier than you would normally prefer. But, you know, the measurements aren't bad. They were fine. And he really just looks like a good prospect. I mean, he looked like, to me, the best offensive lineman down there. His strength looked to be at a different level than most of the other offensive tackles. So him in particular, T.J. Clemmons is a guy, he's actually a Jersey native, but offensive tackle for Pittsburgh. Very raw, but you could see the physical skills, but you could also see that this is a guy that needs work. It's going to take time before he's a finished, polished product. So, I mean, you know, I mean, we're obviously looking at these are likely first-round talents or high draft picks. So those two guys in particular, two guys that I was really watching closely. And you can see why both of them are well-liked and well-regarded.
Aside from the X's and O's, which you just alluded to, Jordan, what have you heard in terms of how they are off the field or their appeal, at least throughout some of the interviews, through some of the sources that you've spoken to?
Yeah, I mean, Clemens seems like a really good kid. I actually spoke to him personally. I spoke to a lot of people around him. You know, he works out up here in New Jersey in Fairlawn. But, yeah, he seems like a really good kid, really grounded, former defensive player, all good things about him. Collins, also, nothing really much negative in that regard. Maybe not quite as well-spoken and polished, but also nothing that's going to scare teams away completely in regards to the off-the-field kind of stuff.
You mentioned that one of the positions the Giants may look to, at least this offseason, whether it be through the draft or free agency, is the offensive line, and obviously the draft is one route. When you look at the offensive line currently, Jordan, what is the biggest area of maybe need in terms of depth? Is it tackle? Is it guard? You know, where do you stand on that front?
I mean, they have options there. That's why when you ask that question, it's almost hard for me to answer that because, you know, they made it pretty clear that they have that option of moving Justin Pugh out wide. Back to the inside, if they need to, or if they can find a better option at tackle. So I think it's really all contingent upon that, if they could find an offensive tackle that they think is going to be better than Justin Pugh this year, which is going to be hard to do, let's be honest, because, you know, you look at the rookie tackles in recent years, and most of them have not had the instant success. Pugh is actually one of the more successful ones in the last 3 years, in regards to first-round offensive tackles. So to find a guy who's going to be better than him immediately in the draft is going to be a hard thing to do. Guys that are much better than him usually don't become available in free agency, so there's a very select market in that regard. So I think guard is going to be the position where they need to upgrade it, and they're going to be looking to upgrade again. But also, you have to look at it this way. They almost look at it as, we're adding a free agent in Jeff Schwartz again this year because he barely played this past year. So that in itself is like adding one free agent offensive lineman. Now they need to add, like you said, depth and likely get another starter, whether it's the guard or tackle spot with Pugh, depending there. So, you know, they're going to need also depth on both sides. I mean, I think tackle in regards to depth, that's the spot they're going to have to fill. So the answer to your question in a real long, distorted way that I just said is, for guard, I think is where they're going to have to look for a starter, and tackle where they're going to have to look to add more depth.
Talking with Jordan Renan, NJ.com, covered the Senior Bowl down in Mobile, Alabama. One of the players that you also wrote about, Jordan, was Washington defensive tackle Danny Shelton, who has received a lot of notice during the course of this week leading up to the game. Give us a little feedback and a little background about him, because from what I read and from what you highlighted, you know, he wasn't really on the radar at this point last season. However, over the course of this year, now he's become a very noticeable commodity.
Yeah, he said he went to the draft advisory board last year, and they told him fourth round to undrafted. Now, you know, Daniel Jeremiah, who's the former scout NFL Network guy, his first mock draft has Shelton going ninth for the Giants. So that's a pretty, pretty huge jump. You know, Shelton has an interesting background. He was involved in there was a fight with his brothers, and his brother ended up getting shot and killed. It was a big thing out there. He was a little up and down his first couple of years at Washington. He says Chris Peterson came in and helped him get things sort of straight in his life and, get him to concentrate on what's important to him and be able to handle all the pressure of being expected to be a big-time football player. So it seems to have worked. His stock, obviously, greatly on the rise. Said he was at 360 pounds at 1.2. Now is down to 343. He actually gave a fist pump when they announced 343 at the weigh-in. So it was kind of a humorous little setting there to see a guy fist pump when they weigh him. So You know, there's some things with Sheldon that are interesting now. He looks like he's a good player. To me, he was a little up and down. You see him, to me, he looked a little raw. He, you know, at times he would get turned around. He would just, you know, toss guys to the ground when he's supposed to go into their chest. I think he's going to be a project a little bit, but a project that's going to also contribute immediately because of the natural skills that he has are just so impressive. You can see it right away. The strength, the speed and agility for a guy that size, you know, in the 340-pound range is definitely special. So he's definitely a prospect to keep an eye on. I'll be interested to see what he does at the combine because I think he'll probably do very well in that regard. Kind of reminds me of Dontari Poe, who has turned into a tremendous, tremendous player for the Kansas City Chiefs. So
you look at what Weston Richburg did at the Senior Bowl last year. Obviously, he got a lot of credit for handling Aaron Donald. How much do you think this game could help a player like Shelton, depending on who he goes up against on the offensive line, in terms of at least elevating his stock?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's, the week is just as important, maybe probably more important than the actual game. So what he's done already is already on tape. Every team gets a copy of it. He played well. I didn't see him dominate like Aaron Donald did last year, to be honest with you. When you watched Aaron Donald last year, he would push this guy, you know, 3-5 yards into the backfield on every single play. He was in the backfield on every play. I didn't see that same kind of domination from Shelton, even if maybe he's probably more physically talented. Now, he can if he can show that in the game, that'll help him a little bit, but what is on tape is already on tape, and I think teams have already absorbed that. So there's the good and bad with Shelton. It's going to be interesting. He's going to be an interesting case study for a lot of teams.
When you look at the Giants' defensive line, Jordan, obviously JPP is a big storyline given his free agent status. But, you know, one other position on defense that probably hasn't received a great deal of attention is the safety position. And aside from Antrell Roll, Stevie Brown and Quinton Demps are also free agents. So, you know, safety could be a position, at least based on the game of speculation, that the Giants will look to address, whether it be through the draft or free agency. Who, if anyone, at the safety position jumped out to you during the course of this week?
Yeah, the kid Pruitt from Ole Miss really looked solid to me. I mean, he looked like a good player. He's a little tall and on the lanky side, but, you know, he's supposedly – I mean, this game – the game has changed, let's be honest. When you're talking about safeties, if you can get a safety who can cover, that is such an amazing hard to find commodity nowadays. So he showed good range. He looked like he was able to cover a lot of ground here at the Senior Bowl. He was a guy that really popped out to me, and I thought he looked like a really good player, probably the best safety there. So if he could prove that he has the range, the cover range to be a really an asset in that regard, regardless of maybe the size, and it, you know, he's not a box safety. That's what I'm kind of trying to say. But when you can cover in this league and you can play safety, that's a very valuable skill. Now, there's another guy, Rollins, who's a former basketball player, who's playing cornerback right now, but some teams apparently view him as a safety as well. So he could fit into that category. It'll be interesting to see how that progresses moving forward if teams really consider him a significant prospect at safety or more so at cornerback. So it could go either way with him. But if he fits into the safety spot, you know, Quinn Rollins will be a very interesting prospect there as well.
The Giants also have Cooper Taylor, who was on IR last season, got hurt during the course of training camp. They drafted Nat Burhe last season, who is an up-and-coming prospect, a heavy hitter. They call him the missile. How do you see that position playing out, Jordan, when you evaluate and take into consideration that there's so many free agents at that spot?
Yeah, I mean, that's a tough one to kind of figure out right now, where the Giants are plan on going in that route. I think that between Burhe and Cooper Taylor, that one of them is going to end up being a starter on this team next year. At least they're going to be given an opportunity to be one of those two starters. The question is, what are they going to do on the other side? Will Antrell Roll be back? And obviously economics play a big part in that. You know, Antrell Roll, He's going to be 33 at some point next season, but he can still play. Whether he's the same player he was several years ago, that's a different story. But in some regard, he could still play. At what price are they willing, or is the team willing, and is he willing to come back and play for, and is another team out there? I think maybe, and this is strictly my opinion, is that there's going to be a team where they're looking at him as a, you know, one of the final pieces to the puzzle, and they're going to be willing to pay him, and the Giants are going to be forced to make that decision of whether they're willing to, you know, match that, and that's in their plan. So that might be that's going to become a sticky decision with them moving forward here.
Talking with Jordan Renan from NJ.com, was down in Mobile, Alabama, covering the Senior Bowl, talking about some of the prospects to keep close tabs on come Saturday in tomorrow's game. One player who the Giants fortunately still have under a rookie contract is Odell Beckham, who certainly exceeded expectations, and then so yeah, he's okay from what I heard. Well, when you look at the wide receiver position, obviously there's, I'm sure, a lot of other prospects that are trying to make names for themselves. Who perhaps is this year's Odell Beckham, or somebody that has great hands amongst this class that is going to be entering the draft?
Yeah, well, the guys in Mobile aren't, you know, this wasn't the guys in Mobile aren't the guys at the level that we're going to anyone. Well, I don't know if anyone's at the level of Odell Beckham. But the top receivers really weren't in Mobile. This was more like a second, third, fourth round range kind of group. Lockett from Kansas State was an interesting kind of target, prospect. He's a guy who, small kind of guy, but he, you know, looked at as a, can use all over the field, in the slot, in the backfield a little bit to run the football. As a returner, I think a guy like that might interest the Giants. They tried to desperately upgrade the return game last year, and a lot of the moves that they made, and Tom Quinn said this, you know, near the end of the season, it just didn't kind of end up that way. You know, they tried to get Trindon Holiday to be their returner. That didn't work out. His hamstring didn't cooperate. They had Quentin Dempsey there as a kick returner, but then he ended up being a starter on defense, so it was hard to kind of use him in that spot. So and then Beckham obviously was injured early. They didn't want to put him into the huge return role right away. So, you know, that took some time there. So it really didn't work out as planned. So a guy like Lockett, I mean, this guy, you could tell, he's just a playmaker. He's a guy that can make things happen, whether it's in the return game or the run game. I think that might be something that the Giants, again, will be looking to upgrade. So that, he was an interesting guy out there. I kind of liked what I saw from him. His shiftiness and ability to change directions was very impressive. But a guy like Kevin White is going to be a big first-round prospect. But, you know, and obviously the Alabama kid, who we all saw just absolutely dominated, a Heisman front-runner, he's going to be in there also. But these weren't seniors, so they weren't down there for the Senior Bowl. But expect them to be some of the top wide receivers in this draft. I don't see the Giants really going in that direction at this point. It's going to be a tough spot for them to go to, especially after taking Beckham last year.
Absolutely, and then you take into consideration the depth they have, and hopefully Victor Cruz returning to full health, it wouldn't necessarily jump to the forefront as a prominent need right now. You mentioned, obviously, not all the top prospects are at the Senior Bowl. It's only a limited group, but for those of us who are going to be focusing on the game tomorrow, you know, what is the one position, at least out of this crop, where you see the most depth or the most appealing position tomorrow?
Wow, the most, I guess it's the, to me it wasn't the greatest group of Senior Bowl prospects personally, but I think when you look at it, the offensive line is still, there were some decent prospects down there. I mean, you're talking about Tomlinson, the kid from Duke, is an interesting guy to look at. He's probably going to play guard. There was a kid from Arizona State, Jameel Douglas, I believe his name is. He's another guy, played tackle at college. Could slide inside here for the game. We talked about Collins. We talked about Cummings. There's a kid from Hobart. I know that's not your usual hotbed. His name eludes me at the moment. But he's a kid that you should keep an eye on. He had a pretty good week down in Mobile at the Senior Bowl. A guy who I honestly had never really heard of before seeing him play down there. So offensive line is a group, and I think maybe at the top, and this is kind of where it's going to be tricky for the Giants, they had the ninth pick. Maybe at the top there's not a lot of great prospects, but in that second, third, fourth round, there's going to be a lot of depth and a lot of prospects that maybe are worth taking a run at and having a guy. You know, that's a spot where there are guys that come in as third, fourth rounders and are able to play in this league and play pretty quickly. A guy, you know, positions like guard and on the interior of the offensive line. So I think that for the Giants in particular, that's an area you should watch in this Senior Bowl. I know it's not sexy, but we've talked about it. We've talked about it for a few years now, and I think everyone's on board. The offensive line still needs work, and everybody kind of agrees on that.
Now, Jordan, before I let you go, you mentioned that this is not the greatest Senior Bowl class that you've seen over the last few years. How about the barbecue? Did the barbecue at least live up to expectations?
Barbecue's good. The seafood in Mobile, too, man. Let me tell you, right on the Gulf there, the oysters, that's the way to go when you're in Mobile, Alabama. Oysters and barbecue.
Oysters and barbecue.
Does
there you go.
Let you down.
Jordan, appreciate
it.
I'm sure it did.
This is how you keep sports writers happy, by the way. You know that? As long as you feed them, they'll limit their complaining.
There we go. Well, we could say a lot of people here at the Giants facility, they're content with what the cafeteria has to offer. So when you see a smile on their face, you know that they're taken care of as well. appreciate the time and the insight, Jordan. Thanks so much.
Anytime, Lance.
You got it.
Have a good one.
As well. Jordan Renan of NJ.com chiming in here on Giants Big Blue Kickoff Live. Spending some insight on some of the prospects to keep close tabs on come Saturday in the Senior Bowl. So just to review, he mentioned the offensive line, which is an area that I'm sure the Giants are going to be keeping close tabs on during the course of this game, that there is some depth there. There are some notable prospects. One of the players, obviously, to keep close tabs on is Collins out of LSU. And Danny Shelton, the defensive tackle who Jordan wrote a great deal about out of Washington, somebody who was not really on the radar last season. He is some presence based on the scouting reports that I've read, but raw talent. So it'll be interesting to see how he performs against some of the offensive line products in the course of the game. All right, let's close out the program by reopening up the phone lines, 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513, hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. You could also follow and interact with me directly at Lance Medow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. Let's start things back up with Nugs in Minnesota. Nugs, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Doing well, Nugs. How about yourself? What you got?
Man, you know, ever since the end of the season, I've just been, you know, had my GM hat on. I'm just, you know, looking at the landscape out here. I pretty much think that I don't think we're going to be very active in free agency as far as on the offensive side of the ball. The offensive line is still a concern to an extent. I mean, if we can get Schwartz back happy, because I think the main thing with the offensive line is that I don't want to see them bring in more pieces and then.
All right, looks like we may have lost Nugs. Appreciate the phone call. Nugs, maybe if you give us a ring back, we'll try to get you back up and running. Not sure if it was on our end or your end. In the meantime, let's go to Rolando in Queens. Rolando, what's happening?
Hey, Lance. How are you doing, buddy?
Doing well, Rolando. How's everything with you? What you got?
Good. Just more or less following up on what you're saying in terms of the safety position, where I'm looking to go in another direction. And this is nothing like in terms of personnel. It's just basically on the budget. And I believe that we can get an upgrade, and being that we're going in another direction with Spagnuolo, that going younger and maybe less expensive, that we can build on what we're starting already. And one of the gentlemen called earlier is talking about the corners. I was just talking to my brother, and we were saying we're about six deep in corners. If we happen to sign Thurman and with McBride and Harris showing something when he had to come in, and Fetter, that to me was awesome. And the kid Corey from Ole Miss, he's also pretty good over the tight end, because they showed him, I was watching the Senior Bowl practice, and they had him over the tight end, and he was pretty physical one-on-one, and he showed good sides and good feet, and I liked him. And the guy Danny Shelton, I told you him last time.
Yeah.
And you goofed on me, but you see his tape. I compare him against Eddie Goldman from Florida State. He was always on the other side. He was always on the offensive side of the scrimmage, always making penetration, always making a sack. He's a little, like the guy said, he's a little sloppy, you know, but, hey, he's a prospect. You know, with our regimen in terms of food and exercising, that's something to build on. And what they're showing also, which I was surprised, there's some guys there I didn't know nothing about that really showing some good stuff. defensive end from Mississippi State. I forgot his name. Excuse me, forgetting his name. But there's some offensive linemen I could see us picking up on the second or third round. But I still want to get somebody in terms of free agent offensive guard to solidify our offensive line.
Well, if you look at what they did last year, Orlando, they did a combination of the draft. They brought in Weston Richburg, and then they also brought in some free agents. So I'm sure they're going to look to do a combination of both. I mean, you can't spend your entire draft on one position, so you're going to look to try to bring in some veterans to round out the roster.
Right. That's about it, Lance. That's all I have for now. And you're doing a great show, bro.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much, Rolando. And Rolando did bring up Danny Shelton, and, you know, there's a great deal of upside. And as I mentioned, you look at him, he's a physical specimen. I mean, the guy is a presence. He can fill up the hole. But, you know, physical specimen, physical presence is one thing. Can that translate to being a consistent run stopper or a consistent guy that can get to the quarterback? And that's what this process is all about, the evaluation process to determine, you know, can he take his raw skill set and become something of a consistent football player. And Jordan, who we just had on, you know, was alluding to the fact that at this time last year, the NFL Draft Advisory Board told him he could go from the fourth round all the way to not even be drafted. Now, all of a sudden, people are talking about him as a second rounder. So, you know, something clicked, at least during the course of this season. With that being said, a lot of the opinions that I've read online from the scouts and so forth, they vary. They're all across the board. So there's not really one sole opinion on a player like this. That's why, you know, the week says a lot in terms of the drills, but for him to go up against all types of offensive linemen tomorrow, you know, I think this would be another opportunity for him to take a step in the right direction to show at least consistency. Hey, I could get challenged against this caliber offensive lineman, this caliber guy, and I'm not going to be pushed back. I'm going to at least make my presence felt. Let's head back to the phone lines. Len is in Maryland. Len, what's happening?
Thanks.
How we doing, Len?
Good. Nice interview. Nice to hear some of those names, so when we watch the game, we can look out for those guys.
Absolutely.
And so I hope we can continue. Hope you can continue to do that as we go through the offseason, get some of these draft experts on to kind of give us a read on.
We'll certainly look to do that.
Players.
Yep.
Yeah, that's good. I think the one thing, I don't want to sound like, you know, Debbie Downer here at the end of the week, but, you know, Lance, geez, we were 7-9, 6-10. Nice to talk about the first round draft choice, throw names around. Bottom line is, at number 9, Lance, we're going to get it, a player. I mean, we're going to get a terrific player at number 9. What worries me is, and I don't share what I think is Jerry's view and also Mr. Mara's view, that, you know, there's very little difference between 10 and 6 and 6 and 10. I think there's a heck of a big difference between those two. That first-round draft choice, obviously an important one. We're going to have a lot of fun throwing names around. Can't wait till the draft so we see who it is. But, man, we need help, Lance. You know, you just go down through the positions. We spent a lot of time on safety today. You know, Antrell Roll, terrific player for us over the years. You know, he's not that cog in the wheel, the answer to a team who's challenging for the playoffs. I mean, that's not us. You know, I can see somebody throwing money at Antrell, seeing him as the last piece to the puzzle for a year or two. But, you know, I look down that list of 21 free agents, Lance. I hate to say this. I'm not going to lose any sleep over losing anybody but JPP. You know, maybe Thurman, because he fills a specific role. Yes, very specific role and an important role. I don't want to see him playing cornerback. I just want to see him in that slot position. But geez, you go down the other 20 guys. I mean, come on, we got a hit on draft picks 3, 4, 5, and 6. We got to hope that some of our guys who were injured, key guys who were injured, you know, make it back. You know, to start to turn this thing around. If I had to pick a side of the ball, and, you know, just go with the fun of this. If I had to pick a side of the ball, I'd, I build on where our strength was at the end of the year. I keep surrounding our biggest asset with as many weapons as we can. And a weapon can be an offensive guard, as Jordan Renan just said. That's okay. You know, he described that kid from LSU as portly. I don't care. I don't care. They don't all have to have flat bellies, Lance. Can they block? Can they move a little bit? And for an offensive guard, it's a strength thing. It's a core thing. I want wrestlers. I want power lifters and wrestlers. If you tell me that you know, he was a high school all-star wrestler, this kid Collins from LSU, in Louisiana,
Lyle Collins,
or wherever
yeah.
he's from. I don't know where he's from.
No, you were right. It's LSU. It's Lyle Collins out of LSU.
Yeah. That guy. No, if you tell me in high school this kid could wrestle and he loves powerlifting, I'd draft him. I'd pick him. Stick him at offensive guard because I think that's the kind of guys we need at offensive guard. I don't think it's Justin Pugh. I'm happy with Pugh at right tackle. I don't want to move him. I don't think he's got that core strength to play guard. I think he can play tackle. Renan was positive about Pugh, and I like that. I think he's our right tackle. I think Beatty's our left tackle. We got to get through this Eli era, get some consistency in these next 3 or 4 years in that offensive line that we can take Eli to the end.
Maybe get one more Super Bowl. If you look, Len, from 2013 to 2014, I understand when fans look at the record, you know, it doesn't really jump off the page as a big difference. But if you look at least the offensive line play, I mean, there was improvement there. The goal is now built upon that in 2015. Yes. Now, part of that, yes. as you mentioned, is people staying healthy, which is sometimes yes. unpredictable, but also having yes. consistency. But if I look at what they went through in 2013 and how many different offensive line alignments they used, which was in the ballpark of 7 in 2013, and then I look at how many different alignments they used in 2014, yes. it's night and day. So if you can yes. continue to head in that direction, that's a big positive.
I got you. But listen, for me, this will be my last thing, and thanks a lot for taking my call. I appreciate it, Lance.
You got it.
You know, I want to continue to surround Eli. Listen, I'll take 37-34 wins over 14-9 losses. Let's build around Eli and the strength that we've shown in these last couple of weeks. I'm sorry he's not in the Pro Bowl, but I said this to Dottino the other day. You know, we put Matthew Stafford in the Pro Bowl on that first Monday night game. You make the Pro Bowl in the first 6 weeks of the season. People notice your name, particularly the fan voting. I mean, we were in the midst of a 7-game losing streak. Eli's not going to make the Pro Bowl when we had a 7-game losing streak. We helped a lot of guys early in the season in that 7-game losing streak make it to the Pro Bowl. Matthew Stafford was one of them. Eli's much better than Stafford. Much better than Stafford.
It's a popularity contest, Len, when it comes to the Pro Bowl. So you can't get too caught up in that.
Yeah, Gruden talking about it on that first night. The first 6 weeks of the season is when you really make the Pro Bowl. And Collinsworth starts talking about you. And Phil Simms starts talking about you on those national games. And before you know, he made the one play against the Montreal Moore. You want to get it down to one play, that first quarter play when he faked out the Montreal Moore. For God's sake, I thought Gruden was going to jump out of the press box talking about how great Matthew Stafford is.
Well, Stafford did have a better season compared to where he was earlier in his career. But like I said, when it comes to the Pro Bowl, a lot of guys' numbers are very close. Injuries are taken into consideration. Yeah. I really don't think it's something you get too worked up over at the end of the day.
I know. I would have liked to have seen Eli there, though, Lance.
It certainly would have been nice.
Okay.
It certainly would have been nice, Len. And listen, appreciate the phone call. And I'm sure fan bases, especially the Giants fan base, you love to see your players represented in an all-star game. But at the end of the day, I don't think Eli Manning's losing any sleep over not going to the Pro Bowl because obviously the focus now is on 2015. And the Giants are trying to build off of the momentum that they had later in the season. So as I mentioned, I don't think it's anything too crazy that guys and gals here in the organization are going crazy over it. At least Odell Beckham's in it, and it's something nice
That's
for him to cap
fun.
Off yeah, his very productive season.
That's
all right, Len?
Be fun. Hey, listen, can you give me 10 seconds?
Real quick.
when we interview these players, when Tom starts talking to these players at the combine, these young kids, you know what I want to know? This is said in frustration, Lance. Ask them what grade they got in their communications class, because I don't want to hear miscommunication anymore.
Okay, fair enough. I will make sure that I pass that word along, Lance. Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much. I know that we hear that time and time again, miscommunication. We hear that with a lot of teams. But the bottom line is you got a new defensive coordinator now. You have some new voices on the coaching staff. So hopefully that will lead to some different terminology and some different chatter out of the players this season. Let's close out the program with one more call. Nugs, we've got back on the line out in Minnesota. Nugs, what's happening?
Hey, man, Lynn. Hey, Lynn killed me with that last comment.
The communication question, yes. I am writing that down as we speak.
I totally agree with him. I think that we should build with Eli for this last few years of his career. And surround him with young pieces that can grow old with him. You know what I'm saying? And then when he's done, we'll search for his replacement, and then that dude will be surrounded with veterans who are used to winning or whatever. And then we can tinker with our defense, because at the end of the day, like Lynn just said, he'll take 37 to 34 wins, but I would rather have 37 to 15 wins, 37 to 14 wins, you know what I'm saying? And at the end of the day, it all starts with having – that quarterback on your defense at the middle linebacker position. You know, I don't think that middle linebacker is a position that I'm ready to give to Denard, because I don't think he's seen enough or done enough in the league to be able to identify different looks and keep that front seven, you know what I'm saying, intact or whatever. I agree with Lynn as far as not losing any sleep over Antrell Roll. I mean, I'm looking at the free agent safeties, and I would rather have Brandon Merriweather than Antrell Roll.
Oh, keep in mind, though, real quick, Nugs, you know, Merriweather hasn't necessarily stayed healthy during the course of his career. You cannot overlook that. And once again, whenever we throw out names, it's speculation.
And they had a pretty decent defense. It was better than ours.
Well, it was, but keep in mind they had two young up-and-coming corners in Breland and Amerson. So those two have really developed little by little over the course of the season. That helped their defense out a lot, but they also struggled too. I mean, that's a reason why they made a change of defensive coordinator as well. Keep that in mind. Jim Haslett's no longer with the team.
Can we have too many corners?
You can never, considering the injury bug.
Can we have too many good corners?
Considering the injury bug, I'd say no. Absolutely not.
Okay.
You can never have, at any position, you can never have too much depth, because especially in this day and age when you have guys that could go down in the blink of an eye, you need depth there. It goes without saying. That's what the Giants went through this season.
I think that Thurman's going to come back. I still think that the Giants should go for Cromartie. I know I said this yesterday, and you were like, you know, you kind of poo-pooed it a little bit because he's an outside guy. But at the end of the day, when we're in a league where they're playing Xbox football, like PDOT says, and everybody's going 4-wide, 5-wide, then we need 4 lockdown corners who can cover. Maybe these guys aren't going to be in the game all the time. Maybe these
Well,
guys
but keep
are-
it keep in mind, Nugs, you know, it, when you go after another starting corner, while it's appealing and it's nice, and I understand where you're coming from, you know, that corner needs to agree that they want to come into a system where they're not going to be necessarily guaranteed a starter position, and they may not be playing every snap. And, you know, I don't know what Cromartie's thinking right now. That's,
the
game of speculation.
I mean, it looks like we're playing a lot of nickel anyway.
Correct, but you have Thurman, though. If you bring back Thurman, though, you have that extra corner that you could throw out on the field.
Yeah, but then it's a battle between Thurman and Cromartie.
But you have Tremaine McBride, too. Let's not forget about that, too.
And Cromartie is far superior.
We could sit here. Well, Cromartie's got much more starting experience, I'll give you that. But when you're
building a better track record of healthiness.
But keep this in mind, Nugs. When you're building your depth chart, you know, sometimes you need to do it with guys that also fit financially. And Cromartie, just looking at his previous contracts, he's going to demand big money, whether or not you're going to play him every single down or whether you're going to play him 3 or 4 downs. Whereas a guy like Tremaine McBride or somebody else who has upside, who may not demand nearly as much more money, but can at least fit within the scheme of your salary cap, that's why guys like that have a tremendous amount of value.
I'll give you that.
at the outside linebacker position, I'm thinking that I see that we got Paysinger and Jaquan are free agents or whatever. I think we should let Jaquan walk, and I think we should bring Paysinger back and give him a chance. See, the thing that this is how I felt the last couple years. There are too many sacred cows on our team. There are too many guys who performed well in the Super Bowl years and kept getting chance after chance to go out there and have brain fart after brain fart, and then we're blaming it on communication and this and that and the other. You know what I'm saying? But what I do take from what Sam Madison said yesterday was that Spags, this is win now. This is win now. This is why we went and got Spags. We went and got Spags because this is win now. Okay, and with one thing that I took from what Sam Madison said was that if he was quick to, if you go out there and you're having mental errors, MEs, he's quick to yank you and put in somebody else and give that guy a chance to go out there and get it right. And I don't think that that happened enough the last few years with Perry Fuel, because I just think it was a loyalty thing. I think it was.
Well, Nugs, they, I don't mean to cut you off, and we're up against the end of the show here. So certainly I'm glad that we were able to get you back up and appreciate the phone call. You look at what Perry Fuel did, you know, and obviously we can revisit history here or there, but a player like Stevie Brown was moved in and out of the lineup. So I don't necessarily believe that there's a track record. Once again, appreciate the phone call, Nugs. Thanks so much for weighing in, where, you know, they only went with the starters and they refused to bring in guys off the bench. There were indications, there were examples this season where they did invest a lot in these young guys and they threw them out there and they gave them a great deal of experience. That's why so many rookies walked away with a great deal of snaps and starting experience this season. So I don't really see that track record and that trend playing out, as Nugs just alluded to. At the end of the day, you know, the Giants are going to evaluate all the free agents during the course of this time. The two players that he threw out, whether it be Paysinger and Jaquan Williams, their rookie contracts are expiring. So, you know, prior to this, they were on a level in terms of financially where, you know, you were able to build a lot of your roster up with those draft picks. And remember, when it comes to the salary cap, and this gets back to the whole financial breakdown, you need to have a lot of your roster made up of youth because you only have so much cap space that you could throw out to spend in free agency. And that's the luxury that the Giants were afforded with respect to some of these young guys. Now that their contracts expire, they will determine whether or not they want to bring them back, and that will occur over the next few weeks and months ahead. Certainly appreciate everybody for chiming in, whether it be through the phone lines or through the tweets. I will look over a bunch of other tweets after the program. I'll try to get back to you individually if you had a specific question. I know that we had a lot of phone calls today, and obviously we had Jordan Renaud, who covered the Senior Bowl. Appreciate him coming on. Big Blue Kickoff live with you each and every weekday at noon Eastern, so make sure to be tuned in next week as we'll be recapping the Pro Bowl as well as what transpired during the course of the Senior Bowl. For all the latest, stay locked to Giants.com. Lance Meadows signing off. Have a good rest of the weekend. We'll speak to you next week. Have a good one.
Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.